A Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio in association with Zynomics. And we've got a treat this week. We've got a midweek game, and not just any midweek game, a huge midweek game with the Belfast Giants in town on Thursday night. First leg of the Challenge Cup quarter final. As ever, joined by the wingman, Dan Green, the former Panthers netminder, and and Jono Bullard as well, of course, your match day commentator. Welcome, guys. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening, Chris. Evening, everyone.
Before we get started, I can't believe in our WhatsApp chat, Greeno, you said you'd record Main in Chelsea, or was that a gag?
No, I'll record it and then I can watch it afterwards. Jono, I wouldn't want to miss it.
You don't watch this rubbish, do you?
Everyone makes fun of me for this, and that's my one trashy TV thing. That's the only thing I really watch as a series, so I'm going to stand
by something. You've got something in common with former Storm GM Neil Russell, because he liked Made in Chelsea.
Did
as well.
He? There you go.
Yeah. I mean, let's get this out of the way quickly, as people will be switching off. But is that the one where it's kind of real, but they kind of act? Is that?
It's exactly that. It's real. They're real people in their real lives, but obviously it's kind of set up. So there's, like any of those, like, you know, there's set up. So there's drama and conflict and whatever. But yeah, they're just normal people in a way, I guess. But
couldn't think of anything worse. Anyway, come on.
I know. Do you know what? I watched it. I got into it like 10, 12 years ago, and I just can't kick it. So yeah, that's my, that's my one thing. So
Green is guilty pleasures. We'll save that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
in the off season. That's great. Right. Well, let's go backwards first, because the kind of the two are connected, because one leads into the other. But Jono, Sunday was just everything right about this team, wasn't it?
It was. It was great. It was probably the best performance of the season. Through all three periods, really good game, intense. We played the body, scored some great goals. We looked dangerous when we was going forward. It was great. It was just great to watch. It was absolutely fantastic after Saturday night to see that performance on Sunday. It was everything that we needed to see.
Greener, I mean, how good was it? I mean, looking at it, you look at the intensity. I saw people tweeting about the intensity of Fabrizio Ricci in the early stages, setting this tone. Tanner Sorensen as well in the scuffles behind the net. Those things were what the fans have been crying out for, and they delivered, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they're the little intangible things where, you know, obviously you're not going to go a season without losing a game. You know, you're going to pick up losses, you're going to have the odd off night or whatever, or you're going to play a really good team in form. But I think they're the things that have been missing, that if they were there every game, like win, lose or draw, no one would complain. You know, exactly like you said, you know, a couple of scuffles, some big hits, some block shots, those little things that kind of keep the fans engaged and kind of build that momentum. And I think, you know, just like Jono said, I think we had all those little things that if we play like that every week, we're going to pick up a lot of good results. And I think, you know, yeah, Cardiff were a bit short benched or whatever, but, you know, so were we. And I think if we played like that in every game, we would win most of our home games.
Yeah, you said that, the Gagnon save on the line. I mean, you guys, I think, said maybe the whistle had gone, but even so, it doesn't matter. It was still such a great play and just showed that spirit, didn't it, John?
There was something I missed from that as well. After Gagnon saved it, David Levin sweeps it away, which is I mean, we both missed it. Because we never mentioned it on commentary, and then I was sort of watching it back, and it's like, oh yeah, David Levin, he just gets in and sweeps it away. It's a really, really incredible play.
I mean, there's some contenders for, you know, you've got some great goals. You know, the play, I mean, I'll just go through some of them that spring to mind straight away. That, you know, the play by Anderson to give it to Kelly Summers for the first goal, the bullet of a finish by Wolechka, which, you know, no netminder saving that, you feel, across him into the top corner. Tanner Sorensen going for a clever wraparound, and then Ferreira batting it out of the air. That's just, I think, the first three, Greener. There were some lovely goals and different bits of skill, not just the goal, but the provider as well.
Yeah, and there were really key times. Like you said, you know, Wolechka's was huge because obviously it doubled our lead to 2-0, which, you know, it makes a big difference. It was a power play goal. But I think for me, Ricci's breakaway kind of broke their back a bit because we just scored to make it 2-0. And then straight, you know, or not straight away, but very quickly afterwards, boom, boom, Hammond, great play to him. And to see a guy that has done well lately, he's playing D, it was more of an emotional lift. He scored it. It was a nice breakaway. And to get that second goal, third goal quickly, I almost felt, not killed the game, but it made it a massive hill for Cardiff to climb.
You could see the smile on Hammond's face, you know, for that third goal in particular, because he played a massive part. And obviously, he could have gone for goal himself, but the way he teed up Ricky, you know, and Hammy, by his own admission, started the season great, but he's had some lean times recently. You know, Jono, and firing Mike Hammond, whether it be assists or goals, will be huge for the Panthers.
Hammond's 4 points in his last three, so he's certainly getting back up there. But I think the thing with Mike Hammond is the guy who provides the bullets for other guys to shoot the gun and score the goals. He's an incredible setup man. I think if you've got Mike Hammond playing at the top of your game, as he was yesterday with a couple of assists, especially the one for Richie that we mentioned, if he's playing at the top of his game, then you know, the Panthers are generally going to be playing at the top of their game. They're going to be scoring a lot of goals because he is the guy that can unlock defences with the way that he can provide passes, the way that he can find guys. He's got an incredible skill set. And when he's firing on all cylinders, I think he's pretty much unstoppable.
The Corey Nielsen effect, you know, you would think maybe, you know, in effect there, you know, Great Britain assistant coach, worked with him there, worked with him in Germany. You know, Corey knows how, you've seen it, Greeno, in the dressing rooms over the years. He has this knack in bringing out the best in players.
Yeah, like you said, he's got a pretty long history with Hammy. So obviously he knows what makes him tick. And Corey's very good at knowing what buttons to push with which players. You know, you don't treat everyone the same. And, you know, he knows how to get Hammy going. But I think just, you know, we obviously know Corey's a very offensive-minded coach, very creative. You know, he will let Hammy do his thing offensively and, you know, make those plays a little bit high risk sometimes. But I think Corey's fine with that because he gives that longer lead to some of those guys. And, yeah, I really think Hammy will thrive under Corey. You know, once all the systems are embedded and, you know, it's sort of around now, it should all be settling down. And, yeah, I think when we re-signed Corey, my thoughts straight away were you know, Mike Hammond will probably be the one that thrives the most on it. And I think, yeah, he definitely did on Sunday.
Netminder hat now on Greeno. I think Debeau and he will feel, and Jack Berry, both of them will feel in the past, probably until Sunday, the past four or five games, that they perhaps, you know, not been at their best. It was crucial for Panthers to get a game out of one of their netminders that went the, I mean, I know Barry led Panthers to a 5-4 win in Dundee, but that was quite a bit of a shootout, wasn't it? And obviously an overtime winner. But in terms of a shootout, it was, you know, defences were a premium. But it was important to get a game out of one of his netminders. And I thought you talked about it, you guys did on the webcast, that Debeau was as equally good as going forward. Debeau was solid at the back.
Yeah, he was excellent. It was one of those games, you know, like you said, it was good to see one of the goalies just be very solid, very consistent. But I mean, like you said, we talked about it. You know, Cardiff had 2 to 3 really good chances before we've scored. And if one of those goes in, one of the breakaways or Joey Martin's effort, we could be talking about a loss instead of a win. So he made big saves at big times. And, you know, when you look at it, I think he, in the end, he faced over 30 shots. And, you know, both the goals he let in, one was a redirection and one was kind of that rebound in front on the wraparound. But, you know, he made good saves, but you can just tell with the goalie, he looked comfortable. He made everything look easy. He was moving well. He was never flustered or pucks bouncing around. He just looked really solid. And yeah, hopefully that can continue.
I don't think we can let the weekend go without discussing Saturday, as painful as it is. And John, I'm afraid it's going to have to be you because you were there commentating. What was the difference? I mean, it's a different rink, which maybe, and Panthers, it's not the first time they've got turned over in a small rink. So is there any, you know, anything to do with that? But what was the difference? You know, what went wrong Saturday?
Difficult to pinpoint. It was just an incredibly bad day at the office. You know, a lot of players didn't play with their A game on Saturday, and Manchester took full advantage of that. I mean, take nothing away from the Storm. They were excellent on Saturday, and their execution of most of the goals and their forward play was simply brilliant. Probably the best I've seen from them this season. Obviously, I see quite a lot of the Storm as well. And they were excellent. Some of the goals they scored, the passing, tape-to-tape passing, just to pull players out of position and you know, get into the position to score goals was just fantastic. If you ever look at the goals that are on YouTube that the Storm have put up, just take a look at the goals that they score. They're not through sort of mistakes. It's just really good execution of forward play. But at the same time, Panthers just didn't have a very good day at the office. There was just probably too many players who just had an off night. And it contributed into a very, very heavy loss. But, you know, like I say, the Manchester Storm were very good value for that. They were excellent all night.
Yeah, and then Manchester going, letting nine against Coventry.
Yeah, so I saw a few mentions on social media about that because they sort of referenced Saturday and then sort of then referenced yesterday where Panthers beat Cardiff 5-2. Cardiff had beat Belfast the night before. Storm had beat us the night before quite heavily, and then Storm have a heavy loss in Coventry on Sunday night. It's a strange league this year. It's like the old cliche: anybody can beat anybody else.
Yeah, except the Guildford.
I said Guildford.
I mean, we've championed Guildford Flames for a few weeks now. It's not like, you know, we've been chatting on our podcasts, but you know, I was chatting to Dave Sims today, and I think he made a great point. If they come out of Christmas, and I'll put this to you, Greener, you know, we've admitted they're serious title contenders, but if they can keep this gap up and come out of the Christmas period, which will be hectic, and New Year in the same spot, if you're a betting man, you've got to be putting a lot of money on them, you know, if they can come out of that period still with a 7-8 point lead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will be a critical point because I know me and Jono have talked about their depth and stuff. And, you know, this could be a point where, you know, and I hope it doesn't happen, obviously, but if they picked up a couple of injuries, just say, or, you know, maybe one key injury and they struggle through Christmas and they come out the other side only 2 points up, I think it really is anyone's out of the top sort of two or three. But exactly that, you know, this is the normally I think you find sort of January the 5th, January the 10th, whoever's top then are really in the driving seat because you've got the heavy fixtures out the way. You're into the back end of the season or the second half of it. And exactly that, you know, it's a hard place to go. They're winning. They're playing well. They're winning in every rink. You know, it's not like they're just good at home. And yeah, unless someone slows them down over Christmas, you know, obviously they're probably going to drop a couple of points here or there. But yeah, if they're in this position come the first week of January and they're even 6 or 7 points up, I think they're going to be really hard to catch.
And you know what? I've been so preoccupied looking at the gap between Panthers and, you know, in sixth and you know, the gap below, obviously, but the gap above and how far apart it is. It's kind of passed me by. You know, Belfast in fifth, you know, they are 15 points behind with only a couple of games in hand. Cardiff have one game in hand, they're 11 behind. Sheffield are probably the best place because they are 9 behind with 2 in hand, but they've got to win though, so that would only close it to 5. You know, a resurgent Nottingham's going to help go Belfast because they're going to take points off those other teams. So going back to the same question, Jono, we're turning this into a bit of a Guildford loving, but you know, you look, and I think, you know, they've got spare imports. Obviously, they've got 2 import goalies. You know, looking at that, they are in prime position.
You're almost waiting for their bubble to burst. It's not bursting.
Sorry, John, before you carry on, just look, their points percentage after 23 games is 89.89.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
They've lost in the league. They lost in the overtime game to us, first game of the season. Second game of the season, they lose regulation to Sheffield, and then they've got one other regulation loss also to Sheffield, and that's it. Yeah. Every other game is a victory. That's phenomenal. Mm. At 20 games won out of 23 games played. That's an astonishing record that they've got. And they fully deserve it. And I remember me and Dan talking about them when we watched them in that opening game against Panthers. And we said how good they look, how quick they were, how settled and balanced their forward lines looked. And it's continued all the way through the season. And yes, they've had some close games and they've had some close calls. They've not really, I think, thrashed anyone. But they just don't look like a side that are going to be beaten. And they don't look like a side who look like they're going to lose when they go behind. They've got that depth. They've got that determination to come out with the victory at all costs. And it's obviously working because, like I say, two regulation losses all season. That's just an incredible record.
Mm. And name drop Simsy again. Again, another thing we were chatting about today. You know, I said to him, I know you're in a title race, Simsy, but wouldn't it be great if someone different like Guildford won the league? And he laughed and he went, I know what you're saying, but you wouldn't be saying that if you were in a title race. You're only saying that because you're not. And he may have a fair point, but, you know, putting that aside, if the Guildford Flames win the Elite League, it's great. You know, I mean, I know all of us on here will be hugely happy for Lacko and Ben O'Connor and all the other British players at the Guildford Flames, and obviously for Paul Dixon and just what it means to see someone break that so-called, you know, the four teams, Cardiff, Nottingham, Belfast and Sheffield. I'm not going to call them the big four, but that would be absolutely brilliant. We've not got much time left, so Dan, let's move on to Belfast on Thursday. Not in the best shape at the moment. They've had some player departures, they've got some injury problems. Nottingham need to use that to their advantage, don't they? Because first leg, get a lead. It's a cliche, but then, you know, any league is great. But if they can really put the hammer down and put this tie to bed, that would just be amazing.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously it comes at a good time with, you know, they're down a few bodies, but also they've had a bit of an up and down, you know, last few weeks sort of result wise. We obviously coming off the back of that big win on Sunday, but I mean, they are still a good team, a dangerous team. You know, we can go through the list of guys, you know, the sort of the Conways, the Goodwins, the Coopers, Adam Keefe's, you know, very experienced coach in this league. So I think, you know, even if they do have a couple of bodies down, I still think it's going to be a really close, hard fought game. But I think Sunday brings a lot of confidence. And I mean, I think if we can get any sort of win, obviously a big win is ideal, but any kind of win on Thursday, and it gives us a really good chance after Christmas going into Belfast.
Although Belfast have been a bit up and down, Jono, where do you think their threats will lie? You know, I'm not sure how many players are going to be out, but where will their threats be on Thursday?
If they're all fit, the Conway, Goodwin, Cooper line is, you know, critical to their success. They just provide so much offence for them from that one line. But also Lewis Hook, who came back to them recently, he's been putting the points away. I think he's 5 points from six games that he's played. Kieran Long has been finding the net quite regularly for them as well. So they've got that depth. And that's what you've got to be aware of. You've got to really, really be alert at all times because they haven't got a line. They haven't got a poor line. They've got lots of players who can hurt you offensively, and they've got a great defence, but also two very, very good netminders in Jackson Whistle and Peyton Jones as well. So it's not going to be easy, but, you know, like Dan says, if we can come away with a lead, preferably two or three goals, then, you know, what's to say that we can't get through to the semi-final?
Yeah, 15 out skaters it looks like they had against Dundee.
Similar to us. I think we only had one more both games, didn't we? So
yeah, and you know, who knows who'll be back for the Panthers. I mean, we'll have an injury update soon. My suspicion is probably the only one who's likely to be close will be Mike Caruso. Yeah, the young lads away with GB. Great. Let's finish on that, actually, because we're running out of time. But, Jono, two goals. I mean, by the time this goes out, I'm sure GB would have played at least a game more. But in the opening game, two goals for Jack Hopkins, including the game winner. His first goal was superb as he broke down the right wing. Second, a great play at the back door on the power play. You know, it's a tournament that really can make, I think, both of them. But let's touch on Hoppo first of all, you know, come of age.
Yeah, Jack Hopkins doing Jack Hopkins things, isn't he? So amongst his peers, amongst his own age group, there's few, if any, better than Jack Hopkins at finding the net, a natural goal scorer. And I saw his first goal before Dan and myself went up to the commentary box yesterday. A great finish. I haven't seen his winner yet, but as soon as I saw that GB had won 4-3, I thought, I bet Oppo's got the winner. And sure enough, he had. He's just such a good goal scorer, and hardly surprising. I'm sure he'll be one of, if not the top GB scorer and possibly the top scorer overall in that championship.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on his shoulders because obviously Logan Nielsen was unavailable. Alex Graham, obviously, taking part now in the tournament. So obviously a lot of offense there that had to be, you know, someone had to stand up. And so far, Hoppo's done that in the first game. Just before we finish, Greener, you know, it was a great performance by Archie Hazeldine. I spoke to the head coach, Martin Grubb, after the game, who mentioned Archie, gave Archie a leadership role as well with one of the alternate captains. How big do you think that is in his development, you know, to go away with GB and wear a letter?
I think it's huge. I think, you know, all of those guys, you know, we call them the young guys back in the day, you know, the Lacos, the Stevies, the Ollies, you know, they all went away at that age and sort of dominated at their own age group and represented GB or England. And, you know, I'm sure Stevie would have been a captain of one of those. And I think it's good because, you know, at our level at that age, they obviously don't dominate. You know, Archie's been great and he's played massive minutes, but I think it's good for both of them to go down, be the guys, you know, probably two of the top four or five players. And it gives you that confidence. They'll get loads of ice time, hopefully loads of points. And then they'll come back here and hopefully, you know, use that confidence for the rest of the season with us.
Brilliant, guys. Great talking to you as ever. Join us again on Thursday, I guess. Yeah, Thursday for a post-game podcast. We probably won't have time to squeeze another one in ahead of the weekend. But of course, we'll be back again on Sunday as well after the game against Fife. But yeah, we'll next be with you against Belfast on Thursday. Big game, Challenge Cup quarterfinal, first leg. We'll speak to you soon.